In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It was still dark outside. The spring air was quite chilly. The women had hurried to the tomb as quickly as they could, carrying with them several pounds of the spices that they needed to properly bury the body of Jesus. In the sorrow and confusion of what had happened on Friday, they didn't know that Joseph of Arimathea and Lazarus had already properly cared for Jesus' body. The Sabbath had been one of the longest of their lives. They'd seen the Lord's crucified and lifeless body taken from the cross and carried to the tomb. And then, in accordance with the law of Moses, they rested on the Sabbath day. God had given the Sabbath day as a gift in order that his people might find rest for their bodies and for their souls. The day was usually set aside for hearing the Lord's word and resting from the week's labor, much like God did on the seventh day. I can't imagine that that was a very restful Sabbath, however. The women grieved the death of their beloved teacher, the one whom they had believed to be the Messiah of Israel, the one sent from God. As the Sabbath, which began at sundown on the day that he was crucified and ended at sundown on Saturday, drew to a close, they could not wait to go to the tomb to take care of the Lord's body, to provide this one act of service and love for him. Because of their anxiety and love for Jesus during his life, it is reasonable to conclude that the women went to the tomb right away, perhaps on what we would even consider to be Saturday night, in order to care for Jesus' body in his death. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same way that these faithful women rushed to the tomb in the darkness because they could not wait for daybreak, the church has historically held vigils on the most holy days of the liturgical calendar, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, because she simply could not wait for the celebration of those holy days. Like a child waiting up for Christmas presents, the church waits to celebrate the days that the Lord has called holy. And so, from ancient times, the church has held vigil on Saturday night, the Saturday night before Easter, in anticipation of the celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This harkens back to the very roots of the first Christians, who were Jewish and figured their calendars like their Jewish fathers in the Old Testament did, with the day beginning at sundown and running through the night into the next day. But there is a significant difference between the women going to the tomb and the church today. And that difference is what they expected to find. The women went to the tomb early to properly prepare the dead body of Jesus for burial. Our gospel reading over and over and over again, even when the disciples show up, talk about how they were looking for the body. There's a lot of emphasis there. And you don't normally go looking for a person's body unless that person is dead. This shows that neither the women nor the remaining 11 disciples believed Jesus' repeated promises that he would die, but on the third day he would be raised again from the dead. They went looking for a dead Jesus. And what did you come to see? You came, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, already knowing the end of the story. These days are not just reenactments of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. These holy days are about hearing again a story that is so familiar to us that we know it by heart. As a pastor, yes, there are details every once in a while that jump out and surprise me as if I didn't see them there before, and perhaps you know that experience too. But I know the overarching story like the back of my hand. Some of you who have been living in the life of the Christian church much longer than I have know the story just as well, if not better, than even I do. And so what is the point of hearing these things again? What is the point of one more nighttime service to hear what you already know? Well, the apostle and evangelist St. John writes in the end of the 20th chapter of his gospel, "These things are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Even though we have intellectual head knowledge of the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, St. John tells us that these things are written down for us. That these words would create and sustain a living faith within us. Now, we Lutherans are often accused of being very scholastic with our theology. But our liturgy and observance of these holy days and times provides us with the opportunity not just to think about what the Bible says, but to live within its pages. Likewise, the Apostle St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The scriptures are quite clear on this point. Faith comes from hearing these things, even when we think we know all about them. So when we mark these holy days, even as we are gathered here tonight to keep vigil and await the celebration of our Lord's victory over death and hell, we hear again these things long ago written down. Tonight, we heard about the creation of the world, the deliverance of Noah and his family through the flood, and the deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea. These are historical narratives that we teach our children in Sunday school. And we know these things well, but the point of hearing them again is that what St. John wrote in his gospel, that these things are written down, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you would have life in his name. So tonight is not about what you came to see, but it's about what you came to hear. In hearing these things, the Holy Spirit, working through the Word, seeks to create and sustain faith in you. In the one Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior from sin, death, and from the power of the devil. By hearing these great historical narratives of God's saving actions throughout all of human history on behalf of his people, God seeks to build in us a faith that cannot be shaken. And so, like the women who came to the tomb looking for the body of Jesus, you too have come with all your sins and with all your fears. You have come mourning over death, either your own upcoming or the death of someone that you have loved very dearly. God knows that there is enough sorrow to go around. But also, like the women who came to the tomb, you will leave here having encountered the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard his living voice in the Word, and here at the altar, he will give to you his very body and blood, which was crucified and raised for your justification, in order that you might eat it and drink it for the forgiveness of your sins in remembrance of him. In keeping this vigil, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard again the history of God's mighty works of salvation. In keeping this vigil, you have heard again your story. For this history is made yours by virtue of your baptism into Christ. After all,
The God who created the heavens and the earth also knit you together in the womb of your mother. Even as he formed and knit you together in the womb of your spiritual mother, the church. The God who saved Noah and his family from the flood by placing them into the ark has also saved you by placing you into the ark of the Holy Christian Church in the waters of the font. And the God who saved the people of Israel at the Red Sea from the hands of the Egyptians as they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, that same God has caused you, through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, to pass from this death into life everlasting. And so while some might accuse us of jumping the gun a bit on Easter, know that the church cannot wait. We cannot wait for the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We cannot wait to be taken from this veil of sorrow to be with Christ in heaven. We cannot wait for the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom that will have no end. And so, this night, this holy night, we gather in celebration of Christ's victory over death, even as we wait in joyful expectation for the Lord to come on the last day in order to bring us to himself in heaven. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.